In Baghdad this morning, at least six rockets hit the Al-Rashid Hotel, which houses many American officials and is seen as a prominent symbol of the U.S. occupation of Iraq. Deputy Secretary of Defense Paul Wolfowitz was staying in the hotel. He was not injured. At least one American is reported to have been killed. Today's attack is a notably visible sign of the opposition that has plagued U.S. forces since major fighting ended in Iraq last spring, and American troops have complained that they are insufficiently trained for their role as police officers in military uniforms. Problems with training and intelligence gathering both in Iraq and Afghanistan are detailed in a report published this past week by the Center for Army Lessons Learned in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. Washington Post military affairs correspondent Thomas E. Ricks reported on the study this weekend. He joined us in the studio. Tom, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Is this sort of report routine?
It is routine for the Army especially to do this sort of report, but the report stood out for the bluntness of its language.
What struck you about the report's findings?
That it found a series of problems. It doesn't characterize them, but they really do stand out as major problems in how the U.S. military is managing, gathering, and working intelligence in Iraq on the ground right now.
Training also seemed to be a recurring issue. Are there antiquated assumptions by the military's high command that are driving training that actually has to be applied in new world circumstances?
I think there are, and I think the report kind of head nods to that. What the report is doing is saying, look, we are a military that's changing, and we need to make changes. And you identify needed areas, the problem areas, by writing a report this blunt and saying this is going to have to change.
The report was critical of the use of unmanned aircraft. It said, among other things, that they were too slow to reach targets. Now, this was different, at least in part, because the targets were smaller and a lot less distinct in a guerrilla war than it would be in a conventional war, right?
Yeah, in the conventional war, like the fight you had last March and April invading Iraq, you knew kind of where the front was. It was a broad area as you were moving towards Baghdad. Now the problem is you could be under attack anywhere in Iraq at any given point. Now, most of the attacks are in the Sunni Triangle, the broad area to the north and west of Baghdad. Nonetheless, the report said they had a hard time getting the UAV, the unmanned aerial vehicles, from the airfield to the spot where the attacks were occurring, because the attacks occur very quickly. And by the time a UAV could show up, perhaps an hour later, the attack was over, the attackers were gone.
You know, the Pentagon routinely portrays new technology as rather whiz-bang stuff. But in this report, it said, you know, basic things such as filing intelligence reports were hampered by the lack of something as common as satellite phones. Why isn't that kind of equipment available?
That did kind of startle me. It's something I'd noticed on the ground in Iraq. Every foreign reporter operating in Iraq has a satellite phone. Washington Post reporters typically have two or three for various different things, data, voice, portability, and so on. And to not have satellite phones really is striking to me. I'd seen this on the ground in Iraq most recently in July, that they don't have a lot of communications capabilities, and I don't know why. I mean, it would seem to me enormously useful, say, for a small unit commander, the commander of an outpost, to have a satellite phone, a Thuraya phone, which is what Iraqis are familiar with, so Iraqis could call them on that phone. When I ask them why, they say, well, it's expensive. Well, if you calculate, there's maybe 1,000 such commanders on the ground, company, platoon, brigade, battalion in Iraq, and that's a total cost of $800,000 to buy Thuraya phones for every single one of them. This is a nation that's spending $1 billion a week right now in Iraq. So something as key as that, getting a way for Iraqis to talk to Americans and for American intelligence troops to talk to each other, it strikes me as a no-brainer.
There were low-tech problems about talking to one another, the use of interpreters, for example.
Yeah, the report was the theme of poor training of people for various forms of intelligence, and the lowest tech is simply knowing how to use an interpreter adequately, which is, it made the point that frequently soldiers would look at the interpreter rather than the person who was being interviewed. Not maintaining eye contact. And also it said interpreters were misused. At one point it specifically says interpreters were being sent out to get chicken and sodas.
You know, the reports such as these are done to kind of detect and correct problems. Were there any indications of areas where things actually worked well?
There is one odd little area that the report pointed out, which is that conventional troops now have such good surveillance equipment that special operations troops, guys on their own side, can no longer hide on the battlefield from them, and that they were detecting them and picking them up. And this is a bit of a problem because the special operations guys, these are the Delta Force and the sneaky guys on the battlefield and so on, they don't like to tell the regular army where they are. That said, I mean, this was not your typical lessons learned report. Usually the lessons learned report out of the Army, which does them the best of all the services, they try a little bit to kind of find some good things to reinforce. These are good points. This report was unusually negative, I think, partly because it didn't fit the form of the typical report. It was done by an intelligence trainer and some other people from Fort Polk, not from the Army's own actual Center for Army Lessons Learned at Leavenworth, even though the Fort Leavenworth office published that and put it up on its website.
What has the Army said about the contents of the report?
I found it very hard to find anybody in the Army to talk to me about it. It wasn't that they were embarrassed as much that they didn't really know that it was there, and when I pointed it out to them that this report was up on their website, nobody really wanted to touch it. They kind of let it speak for itself, which it did eloquently, I thought.
Washington Post military affairs correspondent Thomas E. Ricks, thanks so much for coming into the studio, Tom.
Thank you.